name on the front is a hell of a lot more important than the one on the back.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Wham! Kazap! First try. Why so serious?
He's a fast killer.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
I'm a freaking punk! I've been drinking green tea all goddamn day!
I don't know. I have a bad feeling about this.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Good Day for a Movie Podcast. I'm Jacob, joined alongside me, as always, Sage and Dave.
What's up?
Hi, Sage. I'm sorry that you're having to do this so late.
I hate East Coast time.
Yeah.
Yeah, East Very Coast bad. Time sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you guys get, like, you guys get
normal
things.
How are you besides being tired?
At, like, 9 p.m.?
I'm just tired.
How are you, Tate?
Great.
God, I am too. Nice. 8 o'clock here. It's the night is young.
Night's but a youth.
I did not suspect this Final Four matchup.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's going to be over by the time this is released, isn't it?
No, the championship is the night of this release.
Yeah.
I think.
I haven't watched UConn at all, and I watched them play one game. I was like, holy shit, who's going to beat them?
Yeah, not NC State.
Yeah, good thing NC State is on the other side of them.
Yeah, watch NC State beat them.
I mean, NC State and Purdue both have a big guy that can compete with their big guy. But watching UConn, I was like, sheesh.
How big is NC State's big guy?
He's just built like a brick wall. Burns or something. He's just a thick kid. And then Purdue, though, has like a 7-footer or something crazy. He's not as dynamic.
Didn't Edie put up like 40 points this week?
Yeah, but it was so weird watching him score because he just looks
This is what I was saying last episode. Edie's the most like bizarre thing to like happen to basketball.
Like, I don't think he'd be that good in the NBA.
No.
But there's a reason he's just so tall in college.
I think he's been there for 4 years now. Yeah. I think he's a senior.
Have you seen UConn's big guy, though? He's legit.
No, I have not. I've watched the entire Thursday, Friday, like, opening round of 64. I have not been watching much basketball, boys. I'm very disappointed in myself. Life has been too busy.
Oh, my God. That guy is massive.
Edie?
Which guy?
No, DJ Burns.
Yeah. Big boy.
He's an oil barrel.
Yeah.
Or an oil drum.
He takes up, like, the entire paint.
That's crazy.
So I think one of those two teams can hold their weight against UConn, but anywho, it's not March anymore.
I know you guys don't really celebrate Easter. Do anything fun? Have any good ham?
Didn't do a thing.
Easter? I got a bagel.
Nice.
I guess I made pizza. I did make an Easter pizza.
Ah, see, there you go. What's an Easter pizza? Just a normal pizza on Easter?
No, I just had a bunch of random ingredients and made a pizza. It was a scallion sourdough crust, cream of mushroom soup base, pepperoncini, roasted red peppers, mozzarella, bean sprouts, balsamic drizzle. It's kind of crazy.
Sounds complex.
It was just a bunch of random ingredients thrown on a pizza.
Yeah. I watched Dead Poets Society. That's what I did for Easter.
I started it and fell asleep.
That's tough. That's not surprising the way you're acting right now either.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever heard of Durkee sauce?
Durkee? Duck turkey?
D-U-R-K-E-E.
Durkee sauce?
Yeah.
Is it just a jus or like a sauce made with the
duck turkey?
Like drippings?
No. It's like bottled deviled egg like insides.
Ooh.
It's delicious.
Why is it called that?
I don't know. I don't know why it's D-U-R-K-E-E. Yeah, Durkee sauce.
That's a funny name.
The girlfriend made deviled eggs for the family for our Easter dinner. And it best deviled eggs I've ever had. And she used like Durkee sauce. I'll show you the picture of it. Huh. I'd never heard of it.
I'm not a big deviled eggs guy.
Oh, I love deviled eggs.
If they're good, they're really good. If they're like average, they're bad. If they're bad, they're terrible.
Yeah, and then you'll feel terrible.
Yeah.
I also came to a realization today, and it's kind of rocked my world. You're going to be happy about this, Tate.
Is your girlfriend a better cook than you?
Oh, no, we know that already. That's not a revelation. I am a good cook, though, when I do it. I just don't do it. Sage, you might be happy about this, too.
You're not eating fast food anymore?
No, I'm a black coffee guy.
Nice.
Good move.
I tried it, and I was like, I'm going to hate this, but I was tired. And I tried it, and I was like, what?
Yeah, when you're, like, tired and you really just, like, need coffee and you just have a cup of black coffee, no cream, no sugar, just
yeah,
early in the morning.
You've entered the bright side.
I don't even really like black coffee post, like, I mean, I drink it probably up until the early afternoon, but even after that, like, I don't, like, it doesn't sound good. If I'm going to have one coffee of the day and it's, like, the afternoon, I'm probably going to get, like, a latte. But first thing in the morning, a couple cups of just black coffee are the best.
Just wait till you start drinking nightstand coffee.
That's crazy. Do you hear what Sage does?
No.
He brews a pot of coffee at night before he goes to bed and then wakes up and drinks cold coffee in the morning.
It's not cold. It's room temperature.
Well, okay. That's cold.
I'll be honest. I think I've said this. I'm not like a hot drink guy. Like,
no, yeah.
My mouth is, it's very sensitive.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hot coffee always burns my mouth. That's why I drink
hot at
room
coffee, but
like
overnight
hot chocolate,
coffee.
Like,
crazy.
Wait till that thing gets to chocolate milk.
Yeah. And my old neighbor said that, like, your chances of throat cancer increase by like 60% if you regularly drink drinks that are too hot.
I'm not on team hot coffee, but
I'm kind of into that.
I'm on team fresh coffee.
No. Tableside coffee, whatever you call it, nightstand coffee.
Yeah, nightstand coffee. So you make the whole pot the day, like the evening before. Turn it off, let it cool down a little bit. Pour yourself a cup, set it on the nightstand. So when you wake up, you just roll over and you have a cup of coffee.
A cup of room temperature, 9 hour old.
Then, if it's room temperature, you slug half of it, do the Wordle for 5 minutes, and then take the other half with you to the bathroom and do your business. And get ready for the day.
I love kind of get this like view into your first 20 minutes of your day.
That's literally what I do every morning.
Wow, I didn't know you actually put it at your bedside.
Yeah, it's on my nightstand every night.
See, I don't know if I'd be able to do that. My dog would definitely just drink the whole cup of coffee and just be sprinting around the room all night.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Wes is coffee-averse.
That's good. Uh-huh. Lainey's, if it's food or drink related, she's all in. The first night I had her that I like cracked a beer on the couch, she was just so excited. She's like, yes, I want beer now. I was like, what?
Dogs that like beer are funny.
And I like set it down and she just like started licking the top of it. I'm like, what are you doing? Stop. That's mine.
Aren't hops like toxic to dogs?
No.
I don't know, but I don't give
I'm pretty
her
sure they are.
I don't.
I'm
probably
sure
in the same way that they're toxic to us.
Tate, no. It's like when when Wesley accidentally got marijuana because of Tate, and almost died.
When dogs ingest hops, the consequences can be disastrous.
That's not. I'm not laughing at the sentence. I'm laughing at the context of the sentence.
Yeah.
All right. I guess.
Would
yeah.
you trust
I guess
a dog
it's in the
owner
same family
or a dog uncle? Because the knowledge base of the two are vastly different.
Yeah, but you're a helicopter dog owner.
Yeah, he's a paranoid parent.
That's because Wesley will. He's a curious dog.
All right.
You know what
longest
they say,
tangent.
Curiosity killed the dog.
Longest tangent, longest opening ever.
Sage, what movie did you pick?
Dead Poets Society. And see you on the other side.
Gentlemen. What are the four?
Came out in 1989. Maverick teacher John Keating returns in 1959 to the prestigious New England Boys Boarding School, where he was once a student, star student, using poetry to embolden his pupils to new heights of self-expression. Directed by Peter Weir, starring Robin Williams, Ethan Hawke, a couple other people that you may or may not recognize.
Yes, sir. Anything? Nope. Just was pumped to see it.
We'll see you on the other side.
Sage, that was a good attempt, though.
It was.
I tried.
Gentlemen, what are the four pillars?
Tradition, honor, discipline, excellence.
Banners up.
Welton Academy for Boys, a breeding ground for the future leaders of America. An institution dedicated to achievement, virtue, and conformity. A school whose rigid standards are upheld by every single teacher. except one.
Come on, Mr. Overstreet, you twerp. Mr. Anderson, are you a man or an amoeba?
Language was developed for one endeavor, and that is...
to communicate.
No!
To woo women.
Mr. Keating.
Some people like to rock, some people like to roll, but moving in a groove is gonna satisfy my soul, let's have a party.
Touchstone Pictures presents Robin Williams as John Keating, teacher.
Well, is this a dagger I see before me?
Philosopher.
I like Byron, I give him a 42, but I can't dance to him.
Orator.
Oh, Titus, bring your friend hither.
And founder of the Dead Poets Society.
A bunch of guys sitting around reading poetry.
No! Thank you for playing anyway.
What was the Dead Poets Society?
The Dead Poets were dedicated to sucking the marrow out of life. Spirits soared, women swooned, and gods were created. Not a bad way to spend an evening, eh?
I hereby reconvene the Dead Poets Society.
To strive, to seek, to find.
Gotta do more, gotta be more!
Dare to walk a new path, dare to strike out and find new ground.
I'm hearing rumors, John. About some unorthodox teaching methods in your classroom.
Break out.
I'm gonna do it!
John Keating. He began by teaching English. Now, he's changing lives.
I got the part!
Tear out the entire introduction.
Who put you up to it? Was it this new man, this, Mr. Keating?
Are we just playing around out here? Or do we mean what we say?
Tradition, honor, discipline.
Rip! Fred Tear?
What is this Dead Poets Society? I want names.
This is a battle, a war. And the casualties could be your hearts and souls.
For the first time in my whole life, I know what I want to do.
Medicine, law, business, engineering. These are noble pursuits. Poetry, romance, love. These are what we stay alive for.
That's beautiful.
Sit down, Mr. Anderson.
Carpe diem!
Sit down!
What the hell is going on here?
Seize the day.
Touchstone Pictures presents Robin Williams as John Keating. He was the inspiration that made their lives extraordinary. Dead Poets Society.
I'm going to go get a glass of wine.
Why would you not do that before? Why would you not do that when your computer was restarting?
So I kind of want to piss you off.
Don't delay. Go. God. Piss me off? I'm the one that has to go to fucking bed, you cunt.
This is going
to
be the intro.
God. He is the worst.
Sage, what the hell? You picked a coming of age movie.
I wouldn't put this as a coming of age movie.
That's kind Sage, of crazy.
Is this a coming of age movie?
Yeah. I mean, if I had to say yes or no, yeah. Read me the definition of a coming of age.
So I Googled, is Dead Poets Society a coming of age movie? And it looks like the opening paragraph of Wikipedia. Dead Poets Society is a 1989 American coming-of-age drama film directed by Peter Weir and written by Tom Schulman.
There you go.
I mean, it's not like...
It's different.
It's definitely not like Stand By Me or like...
No, but, Stand By Me is like what it's like. It's not like about one person coming-of-age movie. Like
Stand By Me is about a group of kids that are coming of age.
I know. I disagreed with Tate. Tate okay. was saying it's not like Stand By Me.
It's but not like Lady Bird.
It's not like Lady Bird. It's not like Coda. It's not like where it's like one person. It's not like, you know what I'm saying.
No, but it's definitely in that genre.
Well, in Coda and Lady Bird, it's all about Coda and Lady Bird. But like this one and Stand By Me, it was way more contextual than it was about like the actual kids. Like this one was much more about...
Well, and this one had like a message to it. Stand By Me was just kind of like about kids growing up.
And Lady Bird was all about like a girl growing up. And I was like, that's boring. But this one had like meta elements to it. Metaphysical elements to it. Meta conceptual elements to it.
Metaphysical elements.
So there's my rebuttal.
That's fair. Sage, let's get your instant reaction or initial thoughts. It's not instant reaction. We don't do that anymore. Initial thoughts.
I thought it was good. I did just finish it too, basically. Mm. I fell asleep watching it yesterday, so I had to.
What part did you fall asleep at?
15 minutes in.
Oh.
Didn't last long.
That's so fast.
Yeah, didn't last long.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
funny. I thought it was good. I thought Robin Williams was fantastic. I liked the kids, the characters. Hated the dad, Neil's dad. I think how it ended just ruffled my feathers.
Ooh, good way to put it.
But I don't know. There's nothing really bad. It just felt a little capped as far as like how high of a score I can give it. But for what it was very well done.
Yeah, I thought there were some really weird parts and like weird shots. Like when we were running through the forest, some of that stuff I didn't love. I think it's a good movie overall for sure. So I like the ending probably more than you guys do because I like cheese. But yeah, Robin Williams was very good. I think all the kids were good too. Fun to see a pretty darn young Ethan Hawke.
That took me a second because I knew he was in this, but I couldn't figure out which one was Ethan Hawke for probably 30 minutes. He does not look the same.
No.
He looks similar, but not the same.
Well, he plays kind of a weirdo in this.
Yeah.
He is a weirdo.
But well, like yeah, a quiet weirdo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually
yeah.
He's like a eccentric weirdo. Like Tate.
Yeah. Or like a extrovert weirdo. Yeah. This one, he was like, he had like 10 lines, it felt like.
Yeah.
My initial reaction was that it was really good. I liked it. I think it was a little slow at times in the middle of it, and it kind of was like I was going in and out of whether I liked it, and it was losing me a little. But I love a good story with a strong message. And, I mean, this is the kind of shit that I feel like I really engage with because it's all about finding your passion and being who you want to be and being who you are. Which is so powerful. And so like, it was a really cool movie and it was just like, it was cool to see that even though this might be, I don't even think this is that extreme of a, context. I think it was probably very realistic for a lot of people. Especially if you went to this type of school. But I think the last 20 minutes of this movie is what really, like Sage said, ruffled my feathers. And also like, I feel like gripped me. Like I was getting heated. At the
I was
end.
Getting really heated.
I was getting heated and I was like, oh man, I was ready to throw fists and I'm so glad at least one got thrown.
Probably more in that 20 minutes.
God. And it really just sucked to see. I mean, there's gonna be some spoilers, but it really sucked to just see that last scene happen the way it did. Cause I was like, I didn't see it coming. That's where it ruffled my feathers, but it kind of just made me have that immediate reaction of like, look what you did. You fucker. Like I was so pissed. So that's where the movie did a really good job, I think, of very slowly drew me in and then it like sucker punched me and I was like totally invested into it all. And I even though the ending was cheesy, like you said, Jacob, I liked it. I mean, I was the whole time I was like, somebody fucking stand up and do something, like say
did
something.
Did you stand up on your couch at the end, Tate?
No, definitely not, but it would have been funny. But like finally, and it was like a very justifying end because it wasn't so cheesy where they were like where Robin Williams gave this final big speech, even though I wanted him to tell that other substitute teacher to sit the fuck down.
That was the headmaster
of
the school.
That was the headmaster
because he said that was his first classroom because he taught English
because he used to teach that. Okay, yeah. So I forgot that was the headmaster. I so badly wanted him to tell him like to shut the fuck up and like have the last little monologue, but I kind of like that it just ended with him being like a martyr type and going out knowing that he changed some kids. So I was like, and he needed nothing else after that. So I think the ending was a little cheesy but still really, really solid.
I didn't mind that part. Like when I
the standing on the desk part
was the whole Neil and his father and all the aftermath of that. Like that was the ruffling of feathers part. Well, and then I was fucking pissed because I was like, I swear to God, if none of these little
bastards say anything, the kid that got punched in the face, I was about to jump in the screen. I was like, I'm gonna kick your ass.
I was gonna kick his ass. Oh, if I would have done worse.
Oh, when he got punched, I was like, I actually think out loud, I was like, thank you.
Oh, I would have done worse. Yeah.
Dude, he pissed me off so much when he came back inside and he was like, he just started being such a bitch. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
The headmaster, like even, and I was kind of like, dude, all you need are one of these kids to go into this room and say like the truth and, or say like speak their mind without any like worry about what the backlash will be and have somebody else in the room that like hears it. that's not like a third party to it all. And so when I saw his parents in the room, I was like, oh, finally, he's going to speak up and he's going to say something. His parents are going to back him up because they seem like genuinely nice parents. But then when his parents were pissed at him for like being involved in this and not signing the paper right away, I was like, dude, fuck all of these parents.
Yeah. And I was like, it all started. I was like, this fucking dad goes and accuses this teacher of inciting a desire to want to kill himself when you're the motherfucker that won't let your son do what he wants to do, threatens to like take him away if he even tries. He does it and you say, I'm going to send you to military school and determine the next 10 years of your life. And you have the audacity and naivety to say it was the teacher's fault. Fucking idiot. If there's anyone listening to this and you're like that, you're a fucking idiot. Cause that's so fucking dumb. That's where I was losing my shit. I was like, what a stupid, 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 stupid parent.
Yeah.
He deserved one of those kids to look at him and say, you're the reason he killed himself.
Yeah.
And he hated you. Like, cause the dad deserved it, quite frankly.
Yeah. And that's the shitty thing about it is like the dad deserves nothing good.
No.
And it really sucks at the outcome that the kid chooses.
Yeah.
But like I don't know. It's tough, but that's why I think this movie is so emotionally impactful, I guess. I don't know. It's just like anything like that is, it's like one of the saddest things you can see in a story or hear in a story. And see the buildup of it all was what really made it hard. But so that's where I think this movie won me over.
Yeah. And I really thought
we jumped right to the ending, but
it was the most powerful part. But yeah. Like the most frustrating part aside from that was that Ethan Hawke didn't say anything except, oh, cap my cap'n. That was dumb. Like that is a part that I think could have been done better. He could have just tried a little more. Like,
yeah,
was crazy. All the kids were being such cunts. Like, what the fuck? Like, none of you enjoy school. None of you enjoy, like, you're all doing it because your parents are forcing you to. What's the worst that can happen? A kid died, and a guy's about to lose his job, and you're getting blackmailed because you guys got together and talked about poetry. That's crazy. Like,
yeah.
In my mind, I was like, even if I was 17 years old, I would be able to be like, this is crazy. You teachers and parents need to shut up.
Like, I like to think that I would. Yeah. I think it'd be really hard to be like that in that family and in that system.
And I kind of disagree that they like hated school. I think like a fair amount of them were enjoying it. And like, at least the way they were portrayed, maybe realistically, like if this was like, especially modern era, like, these kids would be actually miserable. But like in 1959, I feel like it was a different era. I think kids were more apt to, and the way they portrayed these kids, especially at the beginning of the film, even before the Dead Poets Society stuff, like they were like not miserable, but like they weren't like ecstatic to be there either. Like, you know what I mean? Like they were like, this is just our life, and they probably didn't really know anything besides it. So they weren't like miserable.
Yeah, I didn't get the vibe that they were miserable or that they loved school. I just think that they enjoyed his class and they enjoyed
It was pretty clear that pretty much everyone except two of them were just doing school.
The only one that
go to an advanced school to get a really good job and make a lot of money. Like that was the only purpose of school. The only two that seemed like they really enjoyed school was Meeks and his friend that made the radio. Like those were the two.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely
like they're enjoying it.
I think all of them were in just such a prestigious school. It's like, I don't know. It's like you see kids going through IB where it's like, do they hate it or do they love it? A little bit of both, maybe.
I can attest because I was an IB student. We loved having peers suffer with us.
Yeah. So that's where I think like
maybe it was communal suffering.
But that's not what was portrayed in this, really. Like it wasn't like,
I don't think they were suffering, but
no, they weren't suffering at all. And I think like these are like, it's a group of like cool nerds almost. You know what I mean? They're like nerds that are like going to like influence the rest of the world, like when they graduate from here, type of deal. You know
what I mean? So they go to a cave and read poetry to each other, and then they smoke cigarettes.
And drink. Say that again.
I was just gonna say that they were like the cool nerds.
Yeah,
my only
they weren't too cool for school, but they were
Like literally all of them were thinking about or wanting to do things other than school, but still did school and got straight A's because it was expected and required of them.
Yeah, they're good students. They were like, good students. Either,
whether it was chasing girls, being in the editor, or being an editor of the newspaper, being acting. I don't think Thomas was really, or Ethan Hawke's character, I don't think anything was really specified of him besides him actually being a good writer.
Yeah.
So that's just where my mind was on that one. Because like literally all of them were talking about everything but their academics besides Meeks.
Meeks? Which one was Meeks? I said I named myself Meeks and I don't remember.
He was the super smart one that basically everyone looked to with study group.
Not the redhead? Who was the redhead?
There are two redheads. The redhead with glasses was Meeks.
So he was the one that was a bitch.
He's no, the bitch was the redhead that got punched in the face. Oh,
okay. So there were two redheads.
The redhead that got was redheads. Cameron. His name was Cameron. Mm. And Meeks was the... Well, maybe they were the
same. I don't know. I watched this last night and I don't remember.
Oh, no. Okay. You're right. You said Cameron?
Yeah. It was Richard Cameron.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Tate, I'll show you the pictures.
In my head, they all look so alike.
Yeah. That one's the bitch.
Yeah, that kid's a huge bitch. Yeah, that kid's tight.
That's the radio guy. Meeks, yeah.
That's okay. Meeks.
Yeah, Meeks was tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I named myself Meeks because the one thing I do remember is his song about, or like when they were all reading poetry and then he got up and started like rapping the poetry and they were all like dancing.
Yeah, what
like,
was that song? That was good.
I don't know, but it was like, Meeks is about ba da ba da ba da Meeks is about. They were just like rapping about Meeks and I was like, that's sick. As they were just leaving the cave.
The really weird like cinematography and shots of them like running to the cave the first time they did it. And it was like slow motion and they had like the hoods on and it was just like foggy. And I was like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, that was a weird twist. I didn't really think that was going to be the Dead Poets Society, was that they go to a cave and I don't know. Yeah, read poems at in the middle of the night. One thing I was going to say that I thought was kind of cheesy and it wasn't my favorite, and I think it's because they came back to it so much, was the whole carpe diem thing.
Mm.
Like when he first says it, like he makes a big deal. He's like, carpe diem or whatever. He's like, seize the day. And I was like, that was weird the way he did that, where he just kind of brought him out to look at something and whispered in their ear. And then like they came back to it a couple times. I was like, oh, I like this whole, like he's teaching them to take advantage of the moment and blah, blah. But then like the more that they did it throughout the whole movie, I was like, okay, I get it. Everyone gets it. Carpe diem. Move past this. Teach me something else, life lesson. That's like the most basic. Not to anybody that has carpe diem tattooed.
And I feel like I feel like it's been especially oversaturated. Like the 2010s YOLO movement has probably, if we saw this in like 2007, we'd be like, yeah, pretty good message.
Yeah.
But the whole YOLO thing really drove that into the ground.
Carpe diem is a better tattoo than YOLO.
Drake ruined it.
I don't know who ruined it, but yeah, white people probably actually.
didn't Drake start YOLO?
I don't know. I feel sure like Drake, that's, I don't even.
I'm pretty sure Drake started YOLO.
I don't.
I'd be willing to say that confidently.
That's so crazy that you'd be willing to say that confidently. It's like two of the subjects you know nothing about is YOLO and Drake.
Who started YOLO? Whoa. The acronym was popularized. By Canadian rapper Drake, who planned to release a 2011 joint mixtape titled YOLO along with Rick Ross. YOLO is mentioned prominently on several of their tracks, such as The Motto, released on November 29th, 2011, and with the aim of promoting the tape.
So it's just aced me at my own rap game.
Yeah.
It's all right. I hate Drake. Drake's a bitch.
No, you got fucked up a little bit.
It's all right. You can have that one.
So I can't remember what I was Googling during the movie, but I saw the headline. It's an Atlantic article by Kevin Detmar. Dead Poets Society is a terrible defense of the humanities. The beloved film's portrayal of studying literature is both misleading and deeply seductive. I can't read all of this because I'm not going to sign in or start a free trial. But the first sentence is, I've never hated a film quite the way I hate Dead Poets Society. I expect that them's fighting words, at least in some quarters, at least I hope they are, because I'm trying to pick a fight here. Goes on to say that, let's see, where was it?
They're just looking for bait.
He walked out horrified that anyone would think that what happened in Mr. Keating's classroom or outside of it, because so many of his poetry-derived life lessons are taught outside the classroom, after all, had anything to do with literary study or why I was pursuing a graduate degree in English. I think I hate Dead Poets Society for the same reason that Robin, a physician assistant, hates House, because its portrayal of my profession is both misleading and deeply seductive.
Next. That guy sucks.
What? Yeah, what a bitch.
Yeah, that guy's just angry at life.
Yeah.
He's not worth it.
He's like, no, it's not this fun. Why would you ever make a movie trying to say it's fun?
Yeah. I'd be like,
that was definitely someone who failed English in high school.
Yeah.
But Neil was in House. Did you guys ever watch House?
No. Was that what that Neil, their House comment was about?
I don't think so.
Oh. Who's Neil?
Sorry, Neil is
his life.
Yeah, Neil's the
theater kid.
Yeah, but he was in 176 episodes of House. I haven't seen like all of House, but
I haven't seen
watched
a single second of House. I just know who House Man is.
Yeah, not bad.
I assume he's not House Man.
No, he's Dr. James Wilson in House, but he's like one of the other doctors in the hospital.
Mm. What'd you guys think of the whole love story plotline of what's his name and other beauty of his?
Chris.
Was that Chris. Not Chris?
Her name was Chris, right?
I don't remember what his name. Yeah, her name was
Chris. His name Knox? Yeah, Knox Overstreet.
Yeah.
What a douchey name.
Yeah, kind of a sick
name. Very douchey name.
I kind of think Knox is a sick
name. Actually, I kind of need to agree. Kind of a sick douchey name.
Yeah, it's a
cool
name.
Honestly, it could be like, I think enough time has passed that may be a cool name again.
Well, isn't there there's a football player, Knox. Tight end. K-N-O-X. It's his last name.
Austin Knox. That's his last name.
Yeah, but that's still just sick to just be like, look at Knox. I don't know. I think it's
Austin Knox is a pretty good name.
Yeah. It's
Knox is a kind of good name. I'm kind of digging the name Knox.
Yeah, I'm calling dibs.
You can't.
Yep.
No, you're already Meeks.
No, I'm for usage of it, of Knox in the future.
Okay.
Whether it be a kid or a plant, even I'm going to do it right now. I'm naming my plant Knox. Boom. Taken.
Oh, nice. Okay. Fort Knox.
Now anything you do, Sage, will be named after my plant.
Man, that Cameron kid was such a fucking bitch. I was just looking at the cast again and I remembered how much I hate Cameron.
Who's Cameron?
He's the one that got
the redheaded bitch that's going to get kicked in the face.
Yep. I don't remember any of these people's names.
The one that I did love, I thought he was kind of annoying at the beginning, but loved at the end, was Charlie Dalton, the one Nuwada or Numata.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever his like weird Dead Poets Society.
He kind of reminded me of Tate.
Who, which one?
For sure was a Tate.
Which one?
Yeah.
The
Numata, Nuwada.
The
one that got paddled.
The one that got paddled.
Oh, the one that stood up and said, God's calling.
Yeah.
He was sick.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah, I liked him.
Yeah.
And the best part of that whole thing was when they pretty much forced Robin Williams to go to him and the whole class or whatever and tell them that that's not funny. Whatever. He had to be the adult or whatever. Fucking dumb. but like when he walked up and what'd he say? He was just like, as he was walking, he's like, God's calling. And he like chuckled or something. He was just like, that was a good one.
If you were
one.
Really bold, you would have said the collector.
Yeah, the collector.
He said you got a collect call.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a great Robin Williams scene because like he was being an adult when he probably has to be. But then also like lets the kids know that was a fucking sick burn.
Nuwanda.
He was sick. I liked him.
He ended up being great. I love that he stayed true and like spoke against everything and got expelled.
Yeah.
Which made and more so I was like, fucking Todd. Get some nuts.
Again, which bro. One?
He was Ethan Hawke.
Oh, yeah. Huge pussy. Up until the
end.
Huge
we did
pussy.
Not answer Tate's question. What did we think of the love story? The love story was strange.
It was strange. It was very non-PC for these days.
I mean, for any days, he got his ass kicked, rightfully so at the start.
He barely got his ass kicked.
Yeah, like that was a deserving beat up. Like
for
it ended where it should have ended.
And it was just weird. The whole, like, I think the whole her coming to him to be like, stop. And he's like, ooh, you wouldn't be here telling me to stop if you didn't like me. And she was just like, you're right. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I was like, this is dumb. I was like, yeah. I could go without all of this.
I was like, this is going to feed every, like, desire for a toxic relationship in a boy and a girl. Like,
yeah,
they're watching that, like, see, my toxic relationship justified because that's cute.
It's like, or now all girls expect is just, like,
yeah,
just the most, like, determined romantic gestures ever.
Yeah.
She's like, no.
Go to your boyfriend's party, kiss you while you're passed out, and then just go to your school. No. Don't get involved.
And he was like, I love you,
he was carpe diem.
I ain't gonna stop loving you, bitch.
Yeah, he was like, carpe diem.
Yeah. He's that.
Carpe get in my DMs.
Damn, nice.
Wow, no DMs existed in 1959, Sage.
But now she slid in, or he slid into her DMs in the 80s.
He carpe'd her DM.
Yeah.
He did.
Damn, that was...
Damn.
Trademark that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, no, the romance, whatever, was pretty average. I like the kid, whatever his name was, that was more the rebel. I liked the rock or the radio kid. He was pretty quiet, Meeks. I liked Ethan Hawke, even though he frustrated me a lot for most of the movie. I liked the theater kid a lot. I think he was the one that was like growing on me more and more, just because I think
character.
He was. He's just the one that you know the most about, I guess. And I don't know. I think the kid also just did a great job acting, like especially in that scene where he had. Or his dad came back and found out that he was in the play and like told him to quit it. And then he went up to Robin Williams and he was like, what do I do? And then later, like the next scene or whatever, Robin Williams was like, did you tell him? And he's like, yeah, I did. And he was like, and you knew, mm-hmm. like, you know that he did.
And Robin Williams knew.
Well. Yeah. Robin Williams knew too. And he was like, you did? How'd he take it? And he's like, he's okay with it. And Robin Williams was like, really?
No.
Like, yeah, that's where that's where I was really feeling for the kid. I was like, man, this kid is scared shitless. So I liked all the kids other than the dumb one that ratted him out.
Yeah, Cameron was a bitch.
I really liked Robin Williams' teaching style.
He'd be the coolest teacher ever.
Yeah, I liked
coolest
it.
English teacher ever.
Yes. I liked... There were certain parts that I was like, that was awesome. Like when he called out Ethan Hawke's character and it was like, I know this scares the shit out of you. And like just publicly in front of the whole class, I was like, that's pretty baller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was definitely, and like even when they like come up to him, they're like, hey, we found you in the old yearbook. And he was just like, yeah. And he's like, and he like just reminisces a little bit about how cool it was. And he's like, all right, now throw that away or whatever. I don't want to see it. And he walks away.
That's not me. Burn it. Especially that picture.
Yeah. He was a pretty chill teacher.
Yeah. He was. Robin Williams was probably perfect for the role too. I liked the Robin Williams kind of quirks at times when he would, like when he was saying, we were trying to get them into William Shakespeare. He was like, you always imagine William Shakespeare speaking in that old Victorian, but like, what if you did in like a Texas accent or a Southern accent. And like, I was like, that's kind of a way to get kids involved.
Very
like,
good John Wayne impression.
That was clever.
Yeah.
And yeah, Robin Williams is always obviously very clutch with impressions. And like,
he's so good at acting as a good mentor and teacher that I honestly believe that he really would be.
Probably was. Yeah.
Like in life, like Good Will Hunting.
Yeah. This and Good
this
Will.
Give off that vibe of he just, yeah. If I need any, you know how many advice, times I
called
to...
this movie Good Will Hunting since Sage picked it?
A lot.
So many times.
Robin Williams is basically plays like a younger Good Will Hunting version of him.
Yeah.
Maybe this was a prequel to Good Will Hunting.
It was probably made before Good Will.
Yeah, definitely.
They're both 3-word titles. Kind of about the same thing.
Yeah. You had to sound that one out.
No, I was wondering if it's the same number of syllables.
Oh. Society doesn't have 4, does it?
No. Well,
I think it does.
Yeah, it is three. No.
Society has four, but Dead Poets Society has seven syllables. Good Will Hunting has four.
What was this nominated for Oscar-wise? Didn't we say it had like five?
I will tell you.
Because Robin Williams, I can't imagine after seeing this, like, not being a high contender. I mean, yeah, I can understand the rest of them not being really.
The scene where he cried after Neil was kind of a lock and seal for his performance.
Yeah. Just even like the quirky, weird stuff that he did too. That was like off the wall. That was well done.
Yeah, but that was Robin Williams. It's almost like harder to see him be serious than it is to be quirky and funny.
It was nominated for actor in a leading role, Robin Williams, Dead Poets Society, Morgan Freeman, Driving Miss Daisy, Tom Cruise, Born on the 4th of July, and Kenneth Branagh, Henry V were also nominated. And then I did not name the winner. Who do you think won?
I thought you were saying Morgan Freeman.
No.
I don't know. I haven't seen like any of those.
You've seen I haven't said the movie that won either. We've reviewed the movie.
Was it Green Mile?
Nope. This, the 1990 Oscars.
Heat.
Nope.
I don't know when Heat came out.
You're too late.
90. I have no idea.
We reviewed this movie in person when you guys all still lived together on Adora.
That's even harder.
No, it's not. That's like a famous movie on this podcast. It's the worst title ever.
Oh, My Left Foot? My Left Foot?
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis, My Left Foot.
Daniel Day-Lewis beat him out?
You have to be fucking kidding me.
That's
what a terrible
funny
movie. I want to go back and drop my review of My Left Foot by like 30 because of this.
Now that I've seen both, Robin Williams should have won. But
Robin Williams should have won.
That's hilarious.
That's so dumb. I can't believe that.
It was also nominated for directing. Oliver Stone won for Born on the 4th of July. Crimes and Misdemeanors, Woody Allen was also nominated. Peter Weir, Dead Poets Society. Kenneth Branagh, Henry V. And Jim Sheridan, My Left Foot.
Man, My Left Foot was just running it that year.
What a dumb.
Didn't you say it did win screenplay?
Yes. It was also nominated for Best Picture. Driving Miss Daisy won. Born on the 4th of July nominated. Dead Poets Society, Field of Dreams, and My Left Foot nominated.
Have you guys seen Driving Miss Daisy?
No.
That might be a good one at some point for me. Keeping that in the back pocket.
And then, yes, it did win writing screenplay written directly for the screen. Crimes and Misdemeanors also nominated. Do the Right Thing, Spike Lee. Sex, Lies, and Videotape, Steven Soderbergh. And Nora Ephron, When Harry Met Sally, also nominated. Mm.
Of all the ones I know, this should have done better, but it's also the Oscars, and the Oscars can fuck off because I never get anything right. So,
this is IMDb's number 194 rated movie.
That's kind of high. What is Oh, we're going to get into that. Doesn't matter. Spoilers.
What else you guys got about this thing?
I don't know. I feel like I got all my emotions out on the front end when we talked about the ending so much.
Does it make you guys want to read poetry?
No.
It was kind of funny because like right now I'm reading Don Quixote and there's a lot of ballads. Ballad?
Ballads.
Ballad. There's a lot of ballads. Ballard. And
ballad sounds like a duck.
Duck. Sounds it's
like
a mallard.
I was going to say like a pool table.
Like a Bayard duck.
But there's a lot of poems in it so far that he recites. And man, I just think they're so hard to like read sometimes just because they're so concise that it like, I don't know, with such a big probably point to them that it's just like, I don't know. I feel like I have to reread them like three or four times to even understand what they're saying. So I don't know. I'm not a big poetry guy, but I think, as far as like a form of art, I think it's very impressive, like good poetry, but I'm just not, it ain't my cup of tea.
Poetry's weird. If I've run into a good poem, I won't like actively read poetry because that's just weird. I feel like good poems find you, if that makes sense. I've read like poetry books. I read a poetry book one time and I was like, this is crazy. It's just a bunch of
poems.
It felt like English class. But you know when you like stumble across one and you're like, and it hits you deep. That's I don't devalue or think poetry doesn't have value, but it's also one of those mediums where it's easily oversaturated with a bunch of nonsense.
I think poems are so, well, maybe like what I'm thinking of is like old school poems and poetry. It's hard to, I don't think I have the balls to say that there are bad or poorly written poems. Cause I feel like they all have so much.
You're talking about like classics right now, right?
Yeah. Well, like I mean, mostly
modern,
I guess,
day slam poetry. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I guess whatever. Yeah. I mean, mostly I'm talking about classics. Yeah. Because like I'll read a book and I'll be like, oh, this is poorly written. This is terrible. But I feel like for most poems that I read, I have no gauge of whether that's poorly written, because I do just think it's pretty impressive.
You got to make a graph.
Regardless. A graph of?
Yeah, you got to put it on the poetry scale.
Yeah. Measure its intended quality to its perceived quality.
Yeah. Isn't that the page that he ripped out?
What?
Isn't that the page that he told him to rip out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I
do. I love
graph them.
The only,
I just don't
the
know the difference between a good and a bad poem. I think they're all like, I'm not big brain enough to know what's good or bad. I just think they're all good.
I think probably. It's one of those things where like, if you read a good poem, you're like, wow, that was like incredible. If you read a bad poem, you're like, what the fuck was that? I don't even understand what that was.
Yeah, I mean? Sometimes I feel like I don't understand them when, and to me, yeah. That doesn't even tell me that they're bad. I just don't understand them. But maybe it is just the more you read.
I like
read.
The idea of poetry more than I like poetry.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's very romantic.
Mm-hmm.
And
just like Shakespeare. Like, I like the idea of Shakespeare. I would like to be have Shakespeare, some Shakespeare memorized, but I'm never going to do that.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No, yeah. Never.
I got too many
sports to memorize.
I agree that like poetry is almost more of a personal thing. I don't see it as like a publishing thing. It's weird. Mm-hmm. To publish poetry, because it's either so obscurely ambiguous that it's just like Robert Frost, or it's like I'm writing this for a particular someone. Like that, anything in between is just this, the oversaturation part, where it's just, why is it, shouldn't exist?
Well,
because
I feel
it's either important to you and this person, which is great, but it has no application to other people, or you're Robert Frost and for whatever reason.
I feel like culturally, like, music has replaced poetry in society.
Yeah. What I was going to say to agree with Sage was that, like, now I think a lot of music and a lot of books even are made for the, for a financial gain, and like just for a kind of a quick hit, you could say, I guess. Where I feel like poetry is it's kind of like that more lost art, where it is more personal and romantic, because it's not like anybody that writes a poem is probably not like, I'm going to make millions of dollars off of this one poem that I write. Like Drake writes a verse, or like Taylor Swift writes a song. Taylor Swift probably knows like what's a hit like chorus and what's not, not to say that she's only about financial gain, but she's making a fuck ton of money. And I think poetry is just it has no financial gain. So it purely is emotional and artistic and personal.
Which is what I liked about how Robin Williams' character was teaching it, was that it had less to do with the actual poetry and
more how
dissecting
you felt about
it, and more to do with your overall interaction or pursuit in life. Like the way you engaged in life spoke more through poetry than the actual words on a page.
Yeah. Well, and that's where I think I also like that he told him to rip out that whole section on analyzing a poem or whatever. Because it was like, you don't have to analyze a poem. He's like, just if it speaks to you, it speaks to you. If you like it, then you like it. If you don't, then you don't. But let that be it. Like, you don't have to judge every course and put it on a graph.
I actually liked, what was?
Jacob, you're always our line guy. You always write down the good lines from the movie.
I know. I haven't been taking notes recently. Mm.
There were a couple good ones in this one, but I didn't write them down.
So this was...
There's my notes on Deadpool.
This was Ethan Hawke's character's poem when he was put on the spot by Robin Williams. You remember that scene?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But say it. Mm-hmm.
It went. I close my eyes and this image floats beside me. The sweaty-toothed madman with a stare that pounds my brains. His hands reach out and choke me, and all the time he's mumbling. Truth, like a blanket that always leaves your feet cold. You push it, stretch it, it will never be enough. Kick it, beat it, it will never cover any of us. From the moment we enter crying to the moment we leave dying, it will just cover your face as you wail and cry and scream.
Sounds like a upset kid. Who's feeling smothered.
But, like, that was pretty fucking good. I mean, yeah. When he started rambling a bunch of nonsense, I was like, this is weird. But when he finished it, I was with Robin Williams. I was like, oh.
Oh, damn. Whoa. That shit slap. Here, wait, 1 second. Let me grab this one.
Why does he just leave all the time?
I feel like he's grabbing something for the podcast.
You think? Oh, is he grabbing a poem?
I think so.
That's the first.
I don't know. I thought it was a poem. There was somebody that sent me this.
Move your mic up. We can't hear you.
Oh. There was somebody that sent me this manifesto called The Mad Farmer, and I thought that it was a poem, but it's not really. It's just
I could tell you my favorite poem.
Yeah, do it.
I think I know I've told Tate it before. It's by Friedrich Nietzsche. And it is called My Happiness. And it goes, since I grew weary of the chase, I search to find instead. And since the winds blew in my face, I sail with all winds straight ahead. That was one that I like, just, I've read a lot. I did philosophy in college and I read a lot of poems and a lot of them were nonsense. But that was one that I just kind of like stumbled on and I was like, oh shit. I like that. And I just held on to it and I memorized it. And it's the only poem I know.
That's where I think like poetry, I mean, even above songs, like there's a lot of good lyrical and songwriting out there. But I think poems stand at the tippy top of quality and how impressive the use of language is. Like, I think it's the most, I think we talked about this another time about old English or kind of like, it was just the most impressive version of the use of a language and vocabulary ever. And I think that's poetry, even condensed. It's like, so you know, like, this is going to be a terrible comparison, but you know, there's like bleach, and then there's like bleach concentrate. Poems are like bleach concentrate because it's just like they're so fucking so much packed into just a few words. And then like a whole song probably says the same thing with like 100 words. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It was no food reference, so it probably lost Sage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow, I'm trying to think of a food reference now.
I have one, but I'm not.
Vanilla and vanilla extract.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, dish-wise, like, poetry is, like...
If I can give you a food analogy, will you stop talking about it?
Yes. But I'm still going to come up with a better one later and text you.
No, you won't.
Okay, go.
A song is, like, stock, and poetry is, like, gloss.
Gloss.
What gloss?
Gloss is reducing stock to a 16th of its volume.
Yeah.
So it's extremely strong.
There you go. That's good.
And flavor. There you go. Now shut up.
And it also fits because I don't understand poetry and I don't understand gloss. So
circling back to when you guys were talking about.
Would you say that your eyes glossed over?
Yes. That was bad. circling back to when you guys were talking about Keating coming in and talking to the kids after that one kid pulled the prank, I really did like his line of, I know he was probably forced to a little bit, but also I think he was like serious about his advice. The line of, there's a time for daring and there's a time for caution and a wise man understands which is called for.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was it. There, like my dad growing up always would be like, there's time to work and time to be serious and time to play. He's like, you got to know when to play and when to be serious.
His quote, my dad always said, know when to be goofy and know when not to be.
Oh, yeah. But it was just kind of like, know when to be a kid and like play. But
it applies to everything. Know when to be goofy and know when not to be.
Yeah. But yeah,
time is right to be whatever and when it's not right.
And that is very valid. And it's like, that's what Robin Williams says. He's like, a wise man knows the difference of when to be or when they're in, how to act in each situation. But he leaves that conversation with, but good on you.
Tate don't ruin the kids.
Dude, I
sucking the marrow out of life doesn't mean choking on the bone.
Yeah, that was another good one.
I did like that, yeah.
That was in the same lecture, right?
It was in the same lecture. Yeah.
That he gave to the rebel.
That was the line when Nwando was, after he got paddled, Neil was like, so what are you going to do, Charlie? And he goes, damn it, Neil, the name is Nwanda. And closes the door. And they're like, yeah, he's still with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not a bitch like Cameron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He took that beating like a man and said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then continued to get expelled.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Is that what he says?
No, but that's it's from something else.
Yeah, it's
when
from something.
Somebody's getting paddled.
Give me un clap, papa.
What is that from?
That's an Instagram meme. It's just like a weird image, and it's just like in broken like German English that just says, it's like, yeah, it just says, give me un clap, papa.
I don't like that.
No.
It's pretty funny.
All right. Anybody have anything else? I don't really have
anything
else. No,
I'm ready to go to bed. Put me down.
Do you guys think you like this more or less than Good Will Hunting as far as mentorship style movies from Robin Williams?
Let me pull up my Letterboxd Good Will Hunting. Oh, I like Good Will Hunting way more.
I think I would say Good Will Hunting, yeah.
Yeah, I think I like Good Will Hunting more, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I would rate Good Will Hunting, but I would say Good Will Hunting over this for sure.
I gave Good Will Hunting a 92.
I think I'd give Good Will Hunting a 95. That's my unofficial score.
92, I would probably give Good Will Hunting a 92.
It's a very good movie.
How is this the first time I've watched this movie? That's not just the question I'll be asking myself for the next few days, but I will also be getting that from everyone I tell I watched this. But I will not be movie shamed. There's tons of great movies I haven't seen. This is a great movie. All five main actors.
Instead, you choose to watch bad movies.
The story is great and it's tight. It could easily have been 2.5 hours, but luckily they kept it to a good and concise story.
You want to know why it took you so long to watch this? Because you only watched bad movies in Star
Wars. I'm not talking
about
Dead Poets Society. I'm talking about Good Will Hunting.
I know.
I watched Good Will Hunting in 2020.
Yeah. My statement still stands.
No.
Are you guys happy that you didn't go to an all-boys boarding school?
No, I was going to ask that, too. What do you guys think about all-boys, like boarding schools in general?
Kill me. Well, I guess not literally, but no.
Tough.
After watch this movie, but no, I would absolutely hate it. I think.
I don't know. I feel like it'd be worse for the girls than for the guys.
I mean, feel boys like will be boys, and that would be fun.
We're fun.
I think the boarding school, like
how strict they were, is what.
Like,
I would
if you could
like.
Go to jail with all your boys,
oh, yeah.
Like,
be lit.
Kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like boys have fun, and I feel like.
I think it's just the boarding school strictness that I would not like. And like,
the traditional bullshit.
Yeah. And like the having to wear like a suit or like a tie, button down shirt and a tie every day and like a uniform. That sounds shitty. And like, yeah, your curfew and like you're in a dorm for all of high school. I don't know.
But that's kind of where the fun comes from, where you're breaking the rules.
Breaking
right?
The law.
Sure.
It makes
yeah.
the fun even more fun.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I would hate it.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't do it. I don't think I would ever send my kids to one or even think about it.
No. Like, my kid is going to be a doctor if I don't fucking shoot them straight.
You have to like not really love your kids that much if you want to send them to one of these. Like, because you're just like, yeah, I don't want to see you except for 2.5 months in the summer.
Yeah. But I'm going to guilt trip you and telling you that I'm doing what's best for you.
That I'm doing what's best for you.
And I'm also controlling
And that I'm sacrificing everything for you to succeed at what I want you to do.
But I don't want to see you every day and I don't want to talk to
you.
No,
and I want you to be miserable.
Yeah.
I feel like a boarding school, I would be tempted to be like, because like I kind of like the idea and I like the structure of my kids going to a boarding school, but I don't like the idea of them not like sleeping at my house. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Talking to them every day.
Yeah.
At least just getting to be like, how are you doing? But it looked like a nice.
So maybe I just want to send my kids school. to homeschooled or like strict Catholic school where they can still get it beaten by a ruler.
Yeah.
If they need to.
If they better, it better be a good joke that they pulled if they get spanked by a ruler. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, it better have been worth it.
Yeah.
Because if it is, then tight. But if it's not, I'd be like, dude, you just wasted a joke and just got spanked for it. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't I'd ever put my kids
I don't know what I'm giving this movie. Score.
I think
wise.
I do.
I know what I'm giving.
Yeah, I think I do.
From the aggregators, an 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb, 84% on Rotten Tomatoes, 4.2 out of 5 on Letterboxd, and a 79 out of 100 on Metacritic.
Metacritic is just... Why do we even say Metacritic anymore?
You want me to go first?
Question. What do you think?
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Or do you want me to answer Sage's question?
Either one.
I'm going to go first. I'm giving it a 90. I liked it a lot. The ending bumped it up a good 10 points for me. I think I was at an 80. I was hovering like the, close to an 80, 75 to 80 range. And then that last 15 minutes hit me hard and I got emotionally pissed. And I just got emotionally involved. And I think any good story will do that to you. So, and plus just, the overall, the acting was really good.
Why do we still say Metacritic?
Oh, why do we still say Metacritic? That was the question.
Also, I'm just trying to burn time to think of my score.
Because we like to make fun of dumb people. I don't know.
Okay, that's a good reason.
There you go. Boom.
Metacritic, you're really dumb. Regularly. Like, you've been dumb pretty much every single review we've ever had on this entire podcast, and you should consider shutting down because you're so dumb.
I think they are shutting down.
Good. Rotten, not surprising. You want me to go?
No, you have to go last because you picked the movie. That's our rule.
Yeah, but you're taking too long and I need to go to bed.
No, let me explain where I'm at. So, like, I feel like I recognize that this is a good movie. And they do, like, it's well made, well acted. I was kind of bored in certain times, and it was a bit slow sometimes. And so I'm kind of torn between, like, the 70s and low 80s. I think I'm going to give it a 79. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 79. But, like, I like it. Like, it's a good movie. I'd watch it again.
You agree with Metacritic, so you're officially dumb.
That's tough.
You want to hear this real quick? I just Googled, is Metacritic still a thing? And it said Metacritic just, I mean, this doesn't give us any answers, but it's just funny. Metacritic was sold to CNET in 2005. CNET and Metacritic were later acquired by CBS Corporation. And then in 2020, Metacritic and other CNET titles were bought by Red Ventures. In 2022, Red Ventures sold Metacritic and other entertainment websites to Fandom. So Metacritic just is a rambunctious child. Yeah. Well, I was going child route for different homes, but
I said slut bag.
Yeah, you guys went the whore route, so that's pretty funny. I'll go with that. Getting in bed with every company. Metacritic's dumb. Yeah, I don't even know who actually runs that joint, but I used to be Team Metacritic.
I'd give this movie an 86. I think it was pretty strong fundamentally. It did have its slow parts, but they were productive in character development and character, just knowing the characters better, I guess, whatever the word is for that. And then the ending was both shocking and, like Tate said, impactful. So I think, oh no, easy 86. I don't think it's any higher than 86, but.
You know what I think is weird is that this movie wouldn't be nearly as good of a movie, I think, or impactful had the ending been different.
For sure. If and the I dad think, was like, oh no, you can be an actor. This would be in the '70s, high seventies.
Yeah. Or, I mean, even if like the, like, I mean, I was even talking about the kid killing himself, like, and that's as dark as that is of a, I mean, it's real life. And like, I think it's, how it's shitty, how probably how many times that situation has happened or just even still happens, to kids. And so like the fact that, I mean, it sucks that that was the powerful ending, but it is like the true, I don't know. I feel like it's a pretty true, ending for some stories, which is really sad. And I think that's why I like the movie. Yeah, I would not have, had it been a different ending, I don't think I would have liked it as much. It was really all that for me.
I agree.
Yeah. That's an average score of 85 on the dot for Dead Poets Society. Next week, we will have a special guest. Hopefully, the movie will be in the episode description, so check that for the next movie. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can shoot us an email at gd4ampodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at gd4gd.movies, Twitter gd4gd_movies. Leave us a 5-star rating and or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any of the podcatchers that take ratings and or reviews. And if not,
I'll kiss your girlfriend.
That's what I was going to say. But then I was going to say when she's passed out and that didn't sound too good.
Yeah, I opted out on the passed out part.
Yeah.
I'll puck you. Because he played puck.
What?
Yeah. Huh? If not, puck you.
Nice. I still don't understand it, but...
He played Puck in the play.
Oh.
Neil did.
Name was Puck.
Yes, his character's name was Puck.
Yeah.
Midsummer's Night Dream.
Yeah, I get that now.
We'll catch you next week at the movies.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. A mechanic can be a panic,
but just a good-looking man. He's looking at you, kid. And any
barmaid. I'll be right here.
Well, you're terrific if you're even good. The, where anyone else stuff that dreams are made of. To Amy Semple is
equally understood. Go out and try. Louis? I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Hollywood.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.
It's bold in terms of jerking people around, but I may have gone too far in a few places.
Hey, everybody, we're all gonna get laid!
Hello. Why is
this? Let's start the podcast.
Hello. Wow, that sounds...
Hello. Yes, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. It just sounds weird. Hello. I don't know why it sounds so weird. You know, we'll go with it. Looks fine.
All right. You sound weird?
I just sound like amplified. Or I think we all just do. Maybe my headset's just super fucking loud.
Interesting.
It just sounds kind of like, I don't know, like we're in a tight bathroom with really not very sound dampening.
All right, whatever.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
All right, Sage, for you.
You recording?
Yes.
You ready to start?
Yeah, I guess let's jump right into this.
I heard Sage say, start the podcast.
Yeah.